D&D and Dungeon Academy. No humans allowed. Written by Madeline Rue. Illustrated by Tim Probert. Chapter 11. At once she felt the pressure of Hugo's eyes on her. Zelie closed hers, turning away from her friends and from the battle raging below. She had seen the number of skeletons being risen and flung at Alidora Steelstrike, and she knew it was just a matter of time before the woman, the human, her flesh and blood, was overcome. Every clang of sword against bone made her startle, as if she herself had become brittle, and then tender to the touch. This was what she had come for. Why she had fled the academy and her mother's in the first place, but at the moment of revelation she felt only terror. Her feet felt rooted to stone, and then she sensed Hugo's big warm presence at her side. He had left behind Flash and Bobble in his bag with Snabla, and they all watched, gripped by the scene unfolding below.
"This is real now," Zelie murmured, hoarse. "This is an adventure. Someone we've been trained all our lives to hate and fight. I can't let you go down there. She might spare me, and I can help her, but if she sees the rest of you..."
"You know we can't let you do this alone," Hugo replied, his gentle voice a strange counterpoint to the violence screaming up at them from below.
"And yet you must..."
Zelie turned to face him, placing her hand on his shoulders and half-smiling up at him.
"Protect the others. I'm going to help her."
"Zelie!"
But she had already returned to the ledge and drawn in the breath that she would steady her for the words to come.
"Snabla? Bobble? Flash?"
At first, they didn't hear her. So she said their names louder. Snabla was the first to turn and sneered at her.
"Was it a face? Looks like you saw a ghost. What is it, Zelie?"
Bobble asked.
"I have to go down there,"
Zelie said and put up her hand, hurrying before anyone could interrupt her, including Hugo, who waited at her back. Still, Snabla and Bobble ignored her, making their opinions forcefully known.
"This is madness,"
blurted Snabla.
"The Dungeon Academy student handbook clearly states that interfering with any adventurers in the open is strictly forbidden unless first instructed to do so by a faculty or staff member. Section 5, paragraph 6, subparagraph B. You should get suspended for, like, ever."
Bobble added, eyes wide with an overachiever's academic terror. The kobold nodded along to each word.
"What the mimic said..."
"It doesn't matter. I'm going to help that human. Yes. Even though she's an adventurer, no matter what the student handbook says, there's something you all need to know."
She didn't expect it to hurt so much. It was the one thing to leave them behind. It was another to betray their trust all along, and use that betrayal to chase them away. Trembling, Zelie reached up and pulled off her horns, tossing them to the floor between them. She didn't look at their faces quite yet, afraid of what she might see there.
"I'm not a minotaur. I never was. My mother found me in a basket and raised me as a dungeon dweller. That human down there, she's my real mother, Alidora Steelstrike. I came here to find answers, to find her, and now I'm going to help her defeat that necromancer."
Zelie sucked down another nervous breath and stumbled on, her hands in tight fist at her sides.
"You can't trust me. You can't trust any adventurers or humans. We're your sworn enemies. Go back. Go back to the academy and don't get tangled up in this. Please. It's all right if you hate me. Just go back. This is something I have to do on my own as a human.
Snobler's underbite shook.
But we come so far.
Go back,
Zelly shouted.
I'm a human. You hate me. I'm everything you've been taught to fight and terrorize and kill. Get out of here.
Then she reared back and roared at them. The most ferocious, guttural sound she could manage, pulling it from deep within her belly, knowing that if she didn't frighten them away, it could mean their lives. They jumped back, startled, but nobody moved or retreated.
Zelly,
Bobble said softly,
we know. We've known for a while. Snabla is small, but not stupid,
the kobold added. He gave a snorting laugh and then waved Zelly off.
We know you're a stinky human, but you could be sneakier. Snabla will fight with you. We will all fight with you. You brought us this far, no turning back now.
Zelly frowned, turning to each of them.
You really don't care?
You go help that adventurer just as long as you help our classmates, too.
Bubble replied while Hugo returned and hoisted them in Flash onto his back. Zelly didn't know a book could look determined, but in that moment, Bubble absolutely did.
We have your back, Zelly.
As if to illustrate, Bobble's book grew a flapping cape.
Just you know, tell her not to kill us. Behold, us! Saving an adventurer and the most popular students at school.
We'd better hurry,
Hugo pointed out, gesturing to the mayhem of the battle, or there won't be much of her to talk to. The owlbear was right. The necromancer and his puppets had her cornered, and they watched five skeletal warriors dove at Alidora Stillstrike, overwhelming her, slamming her to the ground while the robed necromancer drifted above her, the fluid helm of his robes floating just above the ground, a ghastly icy mist gathering below him as he raised his staff high again. An ominous blaze of green light gathered at its tip. Stillstrike's sword tumbled out of her grip, spinning away, uselessly lost under the tide of skeletal feet.
Release them, fiend!
The human cried, even while these skeletons piled on top of her.
I will not be the last to come. More will gather. More will fight you. Such evil will never be allowed in this land.
Be silent. These servants are mine now. You witless worm, soon every village and town from here to the Shining Sea will be overrun.
He bellowed.
I command armies. My master commands legions. There are none here with the power to stop him. Every soul we capture is another for his army, and when we return in force, you shall be powerless against our vast legions. You will fall to your own allies, your own kin, and of them commanded by my lord.
If that's true, we need to close that portal as quickly as we can.
Bobble gasped.
We can't let Patty and Gutrash stay under the control of a necromancer.
It's too awful to contemplate.
Hugo agreed.
Then now!
Zelly thundered.
With me!
Hugo squared his shoulders, even if his feathers remained ruffled with fear. The kobold, no higher than the owlbear's knee, raised his shield, ready to charge. Flash gave a low howl from Hugo's pack, and even Bobble managed a brave, war-worthy cry. Zelly didn't know what to feel in that moment. Charging into battle with her friends, her dungeon monster creature, friends rushing in to help her human adventurer mother. None of it made sense, but then she thought not much of her life ever had. It was all mixed up. her heart, her past, her future, but she did not know for certain that they had to stop the necromancer, that neither monster nor adventurer wanted anything to do with that kind of evil. Maybe it would only be a temporary alliance with the Steel Strike or with her monster friends, but in that moment she had allies, and she wasn't going to fight alone. All her life, her mothers had been preparing her for this moment, to stand tall and face down whatever adversity came to her. She tried to embody them, tried to feel 9 feet tall and made of iron, with horns that could gore and hooves that could stampede. What she actually looked like, she didn't know, but she felt her heart like her adopted mother's daughter, a mighty minotaur. She rushed down the steep, slippery slope toward the bottom of the cave, nearly losing her feet, but letting the momentum carry her. Trading sword hefted over her head, her face twisted into a snarl as she hurtled toward her first real battle. Her sword collided with the nearest skeleton, and the impact hit her not as a human, but as a minotaur. Swinging her weapon, throwing her weight around, she felt strong and sturdy and inevitable, just like her mothers had taught her to be. Surprise was on their side when it came to the risen warriors, and she bowed them over easily while Snabler lashed out with his shield and at any that managed to get by her.
"My shield is impalatable," Snabler cried, smacking into the skeleton's leg. "Impenetrable, silly,"
Bobble couldn't help but correct him, even in the heart of battle. Zelig glimpsed the necromancer ahead, eyes locking with his, a cold whisper of death slicing through her as she beheld him, the dark hollowness to his sticky, sickly face, the pointed chin, and the strange marks carved into the flesh of his forehead. Behind them, the ground rumbled and rattled, and all the skeleton foes they had defeated rose again, commanded with a single nod by the necromancer. They were surrounded. Hugo and Snabla pressed into her sides. The sack on the owlbear's back, trembling visibly.
"Oh, you very small fools," the necromancer chuckled. "I heard you coming with your tambourine song, with your clumsy steps and clumsier ideals. You are far too late to be of use, if you ever might have been at all. We will empty out the unsuspecting villages, sleepy and undefended, and then we will come for your academics and make soldiers of all you creatures. Every last slime dragon and gnoll will serve."
"Leave them be, Lord Carrion."
The woman to the left gathered her strength and rose to her knees. Zelly stared at her in awe, in fear, watching a face just like her own seize with pain and then fight through it and continue. Alidora Stillstrike was a tall and posing figure, even in defeat, even without her sword. Reaching into her belt, Zelly wrapped her hand around the Stillstrike emblem and told herself she wouldn't be afraid.
"Fight me! I am your equal." "No!"
Zelly called back, wiping sweat from her brow and jabbing her sword in Lord Carrion's direction.
"We fight together. Let our classmates go. Let them all go. We won't let you take them."
The other human, Alidora, seemed distracted by Zelly as she looked at her. Perhaps it was a flicker of recognition in her eyes or panic. Maybe the older human realized she was looking at almost a near copy of herself. There was no time for Zelly to consider it more, for Bobble suddenly spoke up.
"I have an idea,"
they yelled, then shrank down into a small red ball.
"Toss me."
Hugo frowned. "But,"
Don't argue, just toss me at a skeleton, Hugo.
The owlbear did as he was told, and the genius behind Bobble's plan quickly became clear. As soon as the red ball was hurled at the nearest skeleton, Flash took notice and yipped with joy. Flash popped out of Hugo's bag, appearing the next instant inside the ribcage of the skeleton closest to Aladora's Stillstrike, trying to catch Bobble the ball, but instead making the skeletal minion explode in a shower of bone fragments. Bobble bounced away before the pup could catch them, landing on top of another enemy. The blink dog vanished and left to the next skeleton and the next, chasing the Bobble ball, jumping from foe to foe until a path around Steelstrike had been cleared. Lord Carrion bared his teeth and flourished his staff, a blast of heat smacking the maul in the face as well as towering flames surged up from the ground, protecting him from their blows. Bobble dodged back across the wall of fire, slightly singed, with Flash not far behind. They were soon back in Hugo's bag, Bobble still smoking, returning to their book form. Many of the skeletons had been vanquished, but now had an inferno to deal with.
Bobble! Hugo cried. That was amazing!
I know. Look, we broke his concentration. He can't channel the portal while he creates that fire.
Bobble squeaked from inside the sack.
It's magic 101. From what I've read about necromancers, they are much weaker when their concentration is broken. Losing their ability to control their minions or sustain difficult spells, which means...
We strike now!
Zelie agreed, racing forward. This was their best chance, even if it meant dealing with the heat of the fire. And Bobble was proved right. The portal across the way on the other side of the stone bridge flickered, flashing unevenly before sputting out entirely. A halfling girl clutching her dolly came to a confused stop just in front of it, then waited, still enscrolled, but safe for the moment. Zelie slashed her way to the human, who gained her feet and soared, gathering her breath for a moment while more skeletons rushed from where the portal had been. As soon as Zelie came near, she saw a recognition in the woman's eyes. Up close, their resemblance was so obvious, so clear, that Zelie almost hiccuped in shock. The other human noticed too. Aladora Stillstrike stared at her, blood trickling from a cut on her forehead.
But you look like... There's no time for that,
Zelie told her, turning away, cheeks blazing.
We have to get through the fire somehow.
Snabla, Hugo, and Bobble joined them amid the scattered bones, while Flash went on flashing, apparently enjoying herself too much to stop. The dog, however, could do nothing about the blazing fire separating them from the necromancer. Even if she got on the other side, Zelie thought a pup was no match for a sorcerer of that power. Lord Carrying mumbled something softly to himself, the portal beginning to appear again, flickering back into existence. They were out of time to debate or hesitate.
A Kaboldworth knows when his time has come,
Snabla suddenly said, snatching up his ramshackle shield and thrusting it out from his chest. It was as if, to Snabla, he had a radiant golden shield, an embalmized heirloom, priceless and ageless. The weapon of numerous heroes come and gone. It might have been made of precious metals and covered in jewels. It might have seen a thousand battles. It might have been the staff of dreams. It was none of those things, but Snabla didn't seem to know or care. They were only the gleam of tales and glory in his eye.
Behind me!
Cried the kobold, already sprinting on tiny, intrepid feet toward the flames.
Meep. Meep.
Into the fire we go.
That concludes Chapter 11 of D&D Dungeons Academy No Humans Allowed, written by Madeline Rue and illustrated by Tim Probert, Harper Publishing.